right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The world-famous, never to be forgotten, never to be duplicated, never to be, I don't know, never to be hired again. I'm just kidding.
Well, that is a very negative statement, Phil.
Yeah, probably true.
Oh, shut up. Probably true. What do you mean? Here we are, man. We are holding forth at the leading edge of entrepreneurial, what do you want to call, stuff.
What's that mean, entrepreneurial, what do you want to call stuff?
Well, you know, we are here. It's the new economy, man. It's the new economy is all of these new companies, all of these different businesses, and all of them small startup and long-standing professionals, veterans in their field who are now going into business for themselves, such as me, Phil Henry. So that's what we're doing. We're very happy that you guys have joined us. World-famous Phil Henry Show is also online at philhenryshow.com. We also have our Game of the Week, which is going to be coming up again on Sunday. One of the things that did happen here over the last week or so is that Ted Bell, who had been a member of the broadcast team from our facilities at henryradio.com and our facilities at henryshow.com, it was brought to my attention that Ted is no longer going to be a part of the broadcast. I know that you had the situation, Ted, vis-a-vis the physical ill health, right?
I had a asthma attack that occurred during the game 2 weeks ago. I think it was the Denver-Dallas game, and I couldn't breathe. I also had some issues with regard to what Steve Bozell was doing in the booth. I'm not going to make a big issue out of that.
Well, what was he doing?
I think Steve should be here to talk about it, but I had very serious issues with what he was doing. I asked him to stop. He continued. And so when I could no longer breathe, that's when I had to eventually be taken to the hospital, which, by the way, I want to make a statement here. I know that Steve is not a paramedic, but the fact that he had to lift me up and carry me out of the booth and then basically like a sack of cement throw me on the sidewalk,
I had no idea any of this was going on. I mean, somebody could have gotten an inhaler for you, or someone could have...
Well, people could have gotten a lot of things, but I was picked up in the studio there, and I was carried outside over Bozell's shoulder, and I was dropped on a cement, and I guess someone inside called an ambulance.
Were you having a hard time breathing while you were laying on the cement?
I almost strangled to death because I could still smell what I was smelling in the booth. And
what was you smelling?
Bud, I'll wait for your boss to ask me that question.
Well, Steve Bozell is going to join us here from Corona, California. I trust that there are no hard feelings between you guys, but I guess, Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing, as good as I could be doing. Ted, I'm glad to see you. You're up and about.
Yeah, I'm up and about. But let's talk, if we could, Steve. I would not mind at all talking here about what was happening in the booth at the time that I began to gag and eventually I wasn't able to breathe.
I've talked to Dolores Blazingame.
All right, hold on.
Wait. I've talked to Dolores Blazingame about this, Bill. All right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You talked to Dolores Blazingame and she told you what? I guess she told you don't say anything because...
She absolutely did tell me not to say nothing, and I don't want to say nothing at this time.
Well, you know something,
and I would counsel you to watch what you say, because I don't want to have happen to you what I'm about to do to all the talk radio. And
you know something, Bozell, your lawsuits are about as effective as your brain half the time, because I'll tell you something.
There's no point in getting insulting.
No, I'll tell you something. Your lawsuit against talk radio isn't going to go anywhere. You're going to sue me. You're going to sue me, Ted. I'm Ted Bell, all right? You're aware of that, right?
Yeah, I'm aware that you're Ted Bell. I'm just like I'm aware Doug Danger's gay. There are a lot of things I'm aware of.
Doug Danger being gay has got nothing to do with me. I'm Ted Bell. I'm Ted Bell. And for you to think you're going to sue me...
I will sue you if you bring up any of the events, according to my attorney, and I can read this if I could, Mr. Henry.
What do you have?
I've got a statement that my attorney wrote down, and she said, take this into... the radio station or whatever you're going to do and read it on the air.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so your attorney is basically putting words in your mouth.
No, sir, she just wrote this. It's a statement right that I want to read right now.
Your attorney wrote this?
Yeah, but this is my feelings that my attorney has expressed.
Yeah, but your attorney wrote this.
We know this, Ted. Let him read what it is that he wants to read.
Basically, that I do not wish to discuss the events of the Sunday afternoon at the Henry Radio Complex in broadcasting the game of the week. At that time and in that place, certain things occurred by way of my enjoying my lunch, which, given the pressures of my life, is one of the few things that I get to enjoy anymore anyway. Enjoying my lunch and also necessitating bodily functions, etc., etc. So I don't think we need to talk about it at all. Something I got to tell you, Phil, what happened in that broadcast booth on that day? Watch it. Hey, Bozell, don't tell me to watch it, okay? I know what it is that I want to say to Phil. I know what I want to say to the audience.
Well, he sounds like he's serious about suing. Let's just say this. Something happened in that broadcast booth that caused you not to be able to breathe very well.
Phil, hold on for a minute. You can't say it caused you not. You can say something happened in that booth and also, oh, yeah, you weren't able to breathe. So what is that supposed to mean? Are you going to sue me if I say that what? Okay, Phil, that's all I want to say. I don't want to sit here with this little tiny baby. Have a good time. It's all yours, Bozell. You can have the game of the week. You can do the play-by-play. It's all yours. And I want to give a warning to you, Dickman. Is Dickman there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, warning to you. You are going to undergo something in that broadcast booth that is, it will change, most likely it will change your life as well as your physical ability to process sensory things. I can't even, what he does when he gets into a broadcast booth and what you will be forced to endure, no man alive should have to put up with it. And not even my worst enemy.
Okay, Ted, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say there, sport.
That was Ted Bell. Okay, so you're on your own here, Steve.
I mean, you. What do you want me to say?
Well, first of all, you can't tell us what Ted's talking about. I understand that. Would you acknowledge that something you did caused him to have a heart attack, caused his asthma attack?
I will acknowledge the fact that I did something, and it wasn't just one thing. It was part of the normal processes that I have physically.
Was it after you ate something?
I do not want to comment.
Well, I think that's a yes.
No, it is not a yes. As a matter of fact, it's a no. If you want to know, okay, I'll go right out and say it's a no.
So you hadn't eaten something?
No, sir, I hadn't.
This wasn't the result of you eating something?
No, sir.
What are you talking about, Bozell?
My name is Bozell.
Easy, bud. Easy. Bozell, okay?
I'm sorry, Bozell.
And please call me Mr. Bozell. I don't need to take that from a guy with a plate in his head. I don't take that on a month of Sundays from my own children. A guy with a plate in his head? I would never take that.
Well, just ask you, Bozell, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that what happened in the broadcast booth and what happened to Mr. Bell, not being able to breathe and having the asthma attack, the two things are not necessarily... I'm not saying that I caused it. I'm not saying that I caused it.
All right, you're not saying that you caused it, but Bell is obviously pointing in that direction. Now, you are threatening a lawsuit if he so much as goes public with any statement, or even you'll countersue if he so much as tries any legal shenanigans that points to some act on your part lending itself to the, or causing his asthma.
That's what I'm saying. Mr. Bell has a history of asthma. He's got a history of having, you know, taken an inhaler to school when he was a kid and being, you know, laughed at, and he's all, you know, ooh, I got to bring my inhaler. And that's the reason why he turned into this big, loud, pushy guy, because he was, you know, compensating for being a, you know, well, I better not say B word, but... You know,
yeah, about being a sissy and everything.
Yeah, was that what you're talking about?
Pretty much, yeah, because the guy's at school with his inhaler, and, oh, I need my inhaler. And then he grows up, and he becomes, I'm Ted Bell, and he's got, you know, this bar, steakhouse and everything. So I think a lot of that's coming from that. And then what I did in the broadcast booth and what I continued to do throughout the game and continue to do in the car home is a normal thing that you will do.
And it had nothing to do with you eating anything?
No, sir.
Well, what were you doing, sneezing?
I'm not
not going to say because I don't want Bell commenting. Otherwise, it's going to be lawsuit a go-go.
All right, look, at I thank you very much for your few minutes here, Steve. We do have to take a break. I wish you the best. I hope that whatever it is that you have going on there, Bud Dickman isn't subjected to.
He's got to say what he's doing, or I better get some workman's comp, or I better have insurance.
That's what you need, man. You need on-site insurance. You got to have insurance on a job.
Well, Bud, you can just use our company insurance then, if that's the... I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Bud, if he's gonna do something...
I don't know what he's doing. Maybe we ought to have him...
You should give him a physical before he goes into the...
Sorry, folks. We'll be right back here on the world-famous... I mean, I can't tell you what the hell this guy's talking about or what it is that bothers him or what it is that's causing his problems. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. More news, the debt ceiling and the budget crisis and the government shutdown and the Peabody. It's world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here to the El Pacifico, right out here on the westernmost edge of the United States of America. And this section of the program, brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. No, I'm kidding. This section of the program, we're going to have on Dr. Ron Tarner, because this article that I saw is fascinating to me. This is the kind of stuff that I really dig, and I'll try and describe it, and I'll try to get Dr. Tarner on to do a little bit better job. Basically, this is the thing. There was a skull that was found...
not this again.
Take it easy, will you? There was a skull found 8 years ago. It's a 2-million-year-old skull, and all I'm going to say is the reason why it's a big deal is because we used to think 2 million years ago there were all kinds of different species of Homo... You want to get belted?
No.
Then grow up, bud. You know, the word homo means man. It doesn't mean gay. It doesn't mean homosexual necessarily. There's homo sapiens. There's homo, habilis. There's homo erectus. These are species. And then, of course, there's man, homo sapien. And there's homogenized milk. And there's a lot of different ways that the word homo is used as a prefix or perhaps a root word. So don't, you know... Grow up a little bit here now, man. Move out of the junior high years. Move on into your high school years. Try to divorce yourself of those asinine instincts that you have.
What?
Don't say, I'm going to belt you.
He's doing it on purpose because he's an imbecile.
Mr. Harry's the one that's saying homo.
Hey, listen, Jack, I'm talking about a story here having to do with skulls and having to do with fossils and having to do with Homo erectus, okay? Which happens to be a species of fossil that the human race is... Oh, this is fantastic. Who do you got on the phone now? That's great. Is this Bud or is it... Excuse me, is this David or where... Turn off that damn... Get rid of the music, if you don't mind. Yeah, David.
I mean, Bud's got a good point. Are you saying homo what?
Homo erectus, which happens to be it's a type of human being.
All right, I mean, I just, when you say those words, Bud, just in case, have the alarm ready so that we are protected, Phil, because, look, I can't just have you saying these things without some kind of protection.
Well, I got news for you, David. If I hear one alarm, if I hear anybody fire off any sound effect, okay, I am going to be... Did he hang up?
Yes, he did.
Why did he hang up?
Well, generally, when he's all done talking, he'll hang up.
Even though I was talking back at him.
Yeah, he doesn't need to hear you. He just needs for you to get the message.
Oh, does he need for me to get the message? Well, I got news for him. He better get the message. Because if I hear one alarm, all we're going to do here on this program is talk about Homo erectus, which is the guy that...
That's the alarm.
Yeah, that is the alarm. Homo alarm?
Well, I need sexuality.
Hey, Bud.
I'm just doing what Mr. Hall said.
In this article on the 2-million-year-old skull, we find that there were not a lot of different species of hominids. There was... I didn't even say homo, man.
Why are you laughing? Because this is music about... In other words, you hear this music, you think, oh, yeah, okay, there's sex going on.
Well, I understand that.
Oh, do you understand that? Well, that's just great. I'm glad you understand that, Margaret.
Phil, you're very unattractive when you're sarcastic. Please don't do that.
I'll do whatever I... What do you mean? I don't care about being attractive, you know.
Well, I guess that.
I care about getting some stuff said. So in the history of the human race, we find now that our species, Homo sapien, was a species... You know, that's very childish.
Well, you're the guy saying it.
Maybe the one and only, not the one and only, but one of just a few species of humans that existed, not a whole bunch. Okay? So if you look at the tree of evolution, it isn't so much a tree with a whole bunch of branches. It's that we are the trunk of the tree, or...
The shaft?
Yeah, the shaft. Now, the... So that's what that's about. And I thank you very, very much for your indulgence, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, on that particular topic. Got some really weird stuff. So that's all I was saying. I mean, I'm not... and then I thought it was interesting, and you guys come in and you butcher the thing six ways to sunset. That's fine with me. We have that new graphic? Yes, we do.
Yeah, I got the new graphic up.
That's fantastic. So it'll be it'll be Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman on Sunday at the Game of the Week. Now, this is a really kind of wrecked story. Security guard at Midtown Victoria... Nah, should I really read this?
Oh, God.
Security guard at Midtown Victoria's Secret discovers a dead fetus in a bag of apparent teenage shoplifter. Good God. A suspected teen shoplifter was busted Thursday toting around a dead fetus while swiping lingerie. What the hell is up with people, man?
Well, you said before the show that it was the world is not as bad as we think.
No, the world is not really... You know, to be honest with you, like I said before the show started, this kind of horrible activity, this kind of horrible, horrible discovery, shall we say, when we hear about it, and we hear about it here in California, or you hear about this story in Missouri or in Nebraska or in Kansas or in less populated, for more remote places, and you hear about it within the few minutes that it happened, as opposed to hearing about it a week later or 2 weeks later, you tend to think that the world's going to hell in a handcart. But the fact is, this kind of stuff has been going on for years and years and years and years. And like I said, you know, you can get in a time machine and go back 120 years to New York City on the Lower East Side and take a walk through the Lower East Side of New York City 120 years ago, if you make it to the other end, if you survive that walk through New York City 120 years ago at the Lower East Side.
You're saying you get killed.
You could, if you were upper class, maybe not killed, but you'd sure as hell get robbed, maybe beaten. If you tried to resist, they'd probably kill you. You know, it was a dangerous city. And how many, excuse me for saying this, folks, in that city, New York, 120 years ago, in the Lower East Side or even Midtown, how many dead fetuses do you think turned up? Probably more than you even want to count. Because, you know, that was birth control back then, just as it is for some women today. I mean, only then there were certain procedures that were illegal. So you were getting kids being dropped down wells, kids that were being drowned, kids that were, you know, fetuses being buried, or even infants. I mean, it happened a lot. It happened a lot. And so for us to sit here in modern times and say, well, now isn't this terrible? Look at this, a fetus. Why, this is New York City. I understand that we should be probably better at dealing with a social problem like this. And we probably are. We probably are. I mean, one of these kinds of situations is probably a major improvement over the way the human race was acting a century ago. But nonetheless... Because it's so bloody shocking, and because we get this news, like I say, within the second that it happened, we seem to think that the human race, you know, morals-wise, the human race, you know, the very substance of our morality is just deteriorating. Because it's such a gruesome thing. It's like, it's beyond belief. And we report these things more graphically now. I'll give an example. There's an article that I looked up. The very first bust of a bathhouse in New York for being busted because there were gay men there having sex was in the first decade of the 20th century, around 1906, 1907, something like that. It was a bust by New York City police on a place that the New York Times described as a building where a lot of things of ill repute were going on. and activity, immoral activity among men was going on. Not once did they ever mention the word homosexual or gay. Not once did they ever even mention the word sex. Not once did they ever even mention, they didn't mention anything having to do with anything prurient. They just said immoral activity among the patrons, an all-male establishment. And that was it. Today, man, we report every last little detail of what's going on. And that further shocks us. Okay? So.
What was this article again?
It was the first arrest. It was the first bust.
Of a guy taking a bath. No.
Of a guy taking a bath. A bath out. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Jack Baldwin. World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. There's radio, and then there's the Phil Hendry Show. We're kind of sitting out here by ourselves on the edge. We'll get to some phone calls here. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And let's go to Steve in Denver. Hi, Steve. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's up?
Hey, Phil. I heard you mention a arrest in New York City of a bathhouse, and that was supposedly at the turn of the century, of the 20th century. Is that what I... did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
All right. Now, there was also an arrest made, a series of arrests made, in a similar establishment, and that was also in the city of New York, and that was also on the same date. So I'm wondering which of these places the record is indicating. Did you happen to know the name of the place?
I don't, because it drives me nuts. I used to have three discs that were the front pages of the New York Times, and I lost one of them. I was just looking for one right now.
Because there were two different establishments that the record shows.
So you say the New York City police raided two different places?
The New York City police raided two places that were both bathhouses, and these were both raided on the same day. Now, it says that the New York City police, elements of the New York City police, detectives, and there might have been members of the city attorney and the district attorney, the investigative teams, that went in. Because what this was an undercover operation that then alerted the police, the larger uniformed force, to then come in and make a series of arrests.
Were they in the same part of town?
I'm not sure what parts of town they were in, and I don't. If you don't have the record, I don't know what the addresses were. But there were two, if not more, in a citywide raid of bathhouses on that day in New York City.
All right, so, well, that's interesting because the historical article. I read an article that was talking about morals arrests and the history of morals violations, homosexuality, free sex, what have you, just vice, and it was a history of police action, law enforcement, as well as the actual criminal record, and I only saw one place that was indicated in the record.
Well, I know that only one would probably be indicated in the record because the others were owned by an individual that I would tell you at this time, which is the reason for my phone call, was owned by a relative of mine, an ancestor of mine. My name is Steve Pickens. I live in Denver, Colorado now, and the family has been in the Colorado area since the 1950s, but the family, the Pickens family, had moved west from New York in the early part of the 20th century, around the 30s, to find new business opportunities. We opened up, or I shouldn't say we did, my grandfather and then my uncles opened a string of bathhouses here in Denver, staying one step ahead of the law.
So your family operated the bathhouse that got arrested, the bathhouse that got closed in the newspaper, or just one of the others?
One of the others, because, you see, my relative spent an enormous amount of money buying off the New York City Police Department for a long time. And what I believe happened, Phil, was that the pressure, public pressure otherwise, most likely political pressure, because you understand the general public never really was all that aware of these establishments. The city of New York, Manhattan particularly, in terms of where the residential section of the city was and where these bathhouses existed, were they're not the same area of town. And so the public did not so much put pressure on the police department and the attorney as did politicians. And so that was it. But my family spent an enormous amount of money paying off the New York City police to protect the bathhouses that we operated.
Were all the other bathhouses that were arrested, I mean, excuse me, that were, I keep saying arrested, that were closed, were all the other bathhouses, were they owned by your family?
Every other one was owned by our family. The one that was that made it into the newspaper was, I want to say it was owned by the Balaban family or the O'Briens, a name like that, I can't remember, it's similar to that, Balaban or O'Brien or Salazar, a name like that.
When you say a name like that...
Those are three different names. Those are almost three different nationalities.
Well, that's correct. But it wasn't our family, is my point. That was the one that was raided by the New York City police.
So the whole establishment of bathhouses were raided, but they did not make it into the newspaper in terms of the report.
No, they did not. So we felt very betrayed at that time by my great-grandfather left a series of notes, notebooks, diaries that my sister and I finally read here about a year ago. And it was shocking what he was up against and what his dying words were. The last 6 months of his life were spent writing furiously into these notebooks and in a manner that can only be described as ravings about the New York City police and then later the Denver police and the bathhouses and how he felt that the family fortune was almost squandered in paying off police officers who ultimately never did protect the business, but turned and allowed the politicians to shut us down. So what then? I'd, if you'd like to take a look at these notebooks, I'd like to get your opinion on this because it drove my grandfather mad, and it is something that has preoccupied my sister a great deal.
No, I don't know what I would do with them, sir. I wouldn't want to have the responsibility to... I'd love to see them. Don't you think you should maybe, if you want some opinion, donate them or at least turn them over to some academic institution?
Well, I'm not so much interested in giving these notebooks over to an academic institution for the erudition of students as I want to get an opinion. Perhaps an attorney is who I need, a legal opinion on what our options are in light of the fact that my grandfather was driven, my great-grandfather was driven almost insane by the amount of money that he kept paying cops only to see that his bathhouses were being closed down until ultimately my great-grandmother said that he died in his sleep, his heart stopped. They can never really say it probably was old age, but he died, the coroner said that he'd stopped breathing and blood had stopped flowing. It was just a combined shutdown of the organs, and he never was the same.
I'm sorry to hear that. Your name is Steve Pickens?
That is my name, yes, sir. And
were these bathhouses operated under that name?
No. The bathhouses were operated under the name Baker. That was my great-grandfather on my mother's side. My sister took the name Baker, even though her last name is Pickens as well. And for the purposes, and this is something that's going to probably shock you, and I hope it doesn't. My sister and I are married, and the reason for that, if I may...
Let's say married.
Hold on, bud, hold on.
The reason for that, if I may, was because we grew up together and were really the only company that each other ever had for a period of time as we were on the move, opening bathhouses and closing them.
Who were you with?
Yeah, what part of the family? Was your great-grandfather still alive?
No, this was my father.
So the great-grandfather, grandfather, and father, all of you were opening bathhouses.
All of us were opening bathhouses, and they were being closed as fast as we could open them up. And even with an enormous amount of money that was being spent to buy off cops, word to the wise, Phil, don't ever pay a cop off, because he will turn and stick it in your back as sure as God made green little apples. And I learned that the hard way. And so as a last act of defiance, my sister and I were married on January 16th of 2006, and that's our way of making our statement.
All right, well, Steve, that's a wild story.
Let me ask you something, Steve. You married your sister. She's very intent on getting the money back. Is that it?
My sister has been very intent on looking into the possibility of recompense for the enormous amount of money that my family spent on cops, on bagmen, on paying off cops to protect these bathhouses where gay people could go and for a couple of minutes of each day have a couple of good time. You know, I'm not going to describe what went on. I won't acknowledge what went on, but they could have a couple of laughs, and it didn't matter.
How much money do you think how many police agencies are we talking about?
Well, I asked my sister, and she thinks it's in excess of 12 or 15 police departments across the country that my family paid off to keep a bathhouse open. And in the end, not one bathhouse remains open. And as a newspaper reporter in Denver said, the Pickens family springs a leak, which I thought was cute.
How much money?
Oh, it has to be in the millions by this point if you take into consideration inflation.
Are you planning a lawsuit of some kind?
I can't go public with a lawsuit because of my marital status. I've married my own sister, and I've gone public with this before. You're not the first one. And we would only take ridicule. We're going to have to do this in a proxy manner of some kind.
All right, Steve. Well, I got to take a break. I appreciate your call very much.
Well, I was hoping that after the show's over, you might go over some of these records with me if I could just talk to you a few more minutes.
No, I can't, although I'll tell you what, I'll turn you over to my producer.
When I talk to that dumbass.
Yeah, I know this guy now.
He's on hold, so you talk to him. World famous Phil Henry Show. That's a bizarre story, if ever I heard one.
Yeah?
You talk to him. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back here with more in our final segment of this here program. Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show here. What did this guy... Welcome back, folks. We just had a guy on the phone who had some of the wildest stuff to say. We were talking about a police raid on a bathhouse in New York City at the turn of the 20th century. It was the very first recorded... And there might have been others, but the very first recorded such action, I think either in New York City or it couldn't have been in the country. It must have been in New York City. And it was for morals. It was for, you know, people behaving immorally. They didn't come out in the papers in those days and say gay men or homosexual men. Now I got this guy you've been talking to, Bud?
Yeah, the guy said I just got off the phone with him.
Yes, here's Bud Dickman with our report.
Yes, thank you. The guy said that his dad was a guy by the name of Brew Baker, or his great-grandfather was Brew Baker, and...
Like in the movie, Brew Baker, huh?
What?
No, B-R-E-W, right?
Yeah. And he had a bathhouse, and so did his great-grandfather, and then his dad did it, but his dad wasn't good at it, because his dad thought that it would be better if it was just a place of people to take a bath.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about a guy to just talk to.
Go ahead, bud. So this guy, who?
This the guy's dad.
So the grandfather and the great-grandfather ran these bathhouses with the full knowledge that these places were used by gay men?
Yeah, but you also said that straight people did, too. Straight, like a man and a lady.
Oh, get out of here. Are you telling me that a man and woman went there to have sex?
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, think of the times. Think of, it was casual. It was a casual place.
Yeah, so he said, but then his dad took over and his dad didn't get it. That's what he said, his dad didn't get it. And his dad would open up these places and go, you need to take a bath.
Do you need to take a bath?
I don't see what's funny.
But I do. So the poor guy, huh?
Yeah, his dad says, well, you know, we have all these bathhouses. Let's do a bathhouse.
Did his father know that the police would bust the place?
No, his dad thought it'd be okay. Well, wait a minute. Hello? 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 Mr. Pickin? Hello? Yeah? Well, you want to talk to Phil?
Mr. Pickens, it's Phil Hendry again?
Yes.
All right. I just want to be clear, sir. Your father took over these bathhouses from your grandfather and your great-grandfather, right?
That's correct. My father took these over, and he decided that he wanted to continue in that business. My father had gone to school to be a pharmacist, and he'd gotten his pharmaceutical degree. And so that was well and good until my grandfather died, and my father came into possession of these bathhouses and started placing ads in the newspapers as a good place for you to go and get a bath if you were in need of one. And my father didn't quite understand that these places were used for sex. He thought that they were places where you went to take a bath. So he had some of the larger communal baths torn out, and he put in individual bathtubs. And it was that time he said to my mother, no wonder Grandpa, and we called my grandfather, he called his grandfather Grammer, and we called him Grandpa or Grandma Cracker or something like that. Although he called his...
That's fine, sir. We understand. You know, he was talking about his grandfather?
Yes, he was talking about my great-grandfather or my great-grams. And so he said, no wonder they went out of business because these bathtubs are too big and there's no privacy. And my mother said yes. So they spent a good... overall, the number of bathhouses that we own, they must have spent a good million to a million and a half renovating and putting in single bathtubs and showers and bath towels and that and bath mats and buying soap and things like that.
This is amazing that one family could miscommunicate so perfectly. You've got a great-grandfather and a grandfather that opened these bathhouses for the specific reason of enabling gay people, homosexual people as they were called, to have sex or to meet, and then along comes your father, who thought all along that these bathhouses were for taking baths.
Well, yes, and I will tell you that I don't mean any. I don't mean to disrespect anyone or my grandparents, but I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing, and my grandfather was the one that was driven insane. And eventually put all of these ravings into a notebook that my sister has just now had the courage to read. The insanity, I think, came because we'd paid off so many cops. And my father didn't understand that either because he didn't have to pay one single cop. The interesting thing was, though, that my father wound up losing just as much money because the idea of people taking a bath at a bathhouse was a bad idea. Fortunately, he had a pharmaceutical degree.
Now let me ask you a question, and I don't mean to pry. You married your sister. I don't think you gave me a good rundown on that, you know?
In terms of what?
Why?
Oh, well, I married my sister because it was the most logical thing to do. It was, we got along well. She was a great conversationalist, and we went to movies together. We did the normal things that young people do. We dated. I took her to the prom.
Your own sister?
You took your sister to the prom?
Yes, I did. Some people have indicated that we're not welcome in their homes. We have been told by some people not to go near their houses, and we've also been told that any offspring we have...
Do you have children?
No, we do not.
Are you planning on having kids?
I've learned not to make a comment on that. We would just like to have the kid, and then people are going to have to deal with it.
Well, if it comes out with one eye?
Shut up, Bud.
Bud, that is very rude.
No, that's okay. That's all right, Bud. I'm glad you asked that question.
If the child is born and it has some physical deformity, such as one eye, or it or is hopping around on one leg, then surprise, deal with it. You know.
So you're just going to kind of spring it on society, huh?
Well, there's not. I don't see a law or a rule written someplace where you're supposed to give everybody warning. Hey, I married my sister, so watch out. We're about to have a kid that's a cyclops. I'm not prepared to do that.
So what's the upshot of this whole bathhouse thing?
Well, the bathhouse, my sister is obsessed with getting to the bottom with how much money is owed. And then she wants to look further into my grandfather's ravings, because these booklets are, these notebooks are filled with insane statements having to do with life, the hereafter, premonitions that he's had. We don't know.
Well, the best of luck to you, Steve Pickens, right?
If that's the name I gave you, that is not my name, but I believe that is the name I gave you.
Is the family name Baker? Hello? How about that?
Man, I got hung up. You didn't want to say the name?
Well, now, wait a minute. What is the family name?
I don't know what the family name is, because the guy just said, if that's the name I gave you. No, he said Pickens is not his name. I don't know. All right, so thanks so much, sir. And good luck, you know, with your sister there and the life that you've planned together.
Don't laugh at them.
I certainly will laugh at them. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We'll see you guys. We'll see you on Monday. Tomorrow night is, happy honeymoon there to you, Matt. See you guys this weekend.